الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. وعن أسامة بن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لي أراك تصوم من شعبان لم أرك تصوم من شهر من الشهور ما تصوم من شعبان فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذاك شهر يغفل الناس عنه بين رجب ورمضان وهو شهر يرفع فيه الأعمال إلى رب العالمين وأحب أن يرفع عملي وأنا صائم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء كرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has essentially made this human being a composition of two things. One is the body and the other is the soul. The body is made elsewhere and the soul is made elsewhere. The body essentially is formed from the earth and it passes through various stages. وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. Allah says, verily, we created this insan from an extract of clay. From an extract of clay he was made into a drop of sperm in a safe receptacle. From a drop of sperm into a clot of blood. From a clot of blood into a lump of flesh. Thereafter bones were formed. These bones were clothed with flesh. Stage upon stage of creation. Fatabarakallah ahsanul khaliqeen. Blessed is Allah who is the best of creators. This body is formed from the earth. And the ruh or the soul of insan, that is the hidden amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning which, this human being has very limited knowledge. يسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are asking you about the ruh, the soul of insan. Tell them that the ruh is from the amr of my Allah, from the order of my Allah. وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. An insan has been given very little knowledge. With regards to the ruh, this hidden amr of Allah, you have no knowledge. The fetus or the developing child in the womb of the mother, when it is 120 days of age, then from the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the ruh and the soul that is placed in this body. And thereby we have the composition of this human being. The ruh is asal. Is the actual thing. That is why when a person passes away and the ruh is taken away, then the body ceases to have any significance. In fact, this person is stripped of all his titles also. It may have been Maulvi Saab, Professor Saab, Doctor Saab, Engineer Saab. All these titles are no longer there. And no matter who it may be, there is only one title that remains, and that is Mayyit, a dead corpse. What is this maut and what is this death that occurs? If you look in the books of science, we will find 200 theories as to what is death. The fact that there are 200 different theories, that already tells you that not one of them is correct. In reality, there is only one correct answer as to what is death. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha, wallati lam tamut fi manamiha ila akhir al-ayah. Qul yatawaffakum malakul mawti alladhi wukkila bikum. That when Allah ta'ala, through the angel of death, snatches the ruh and the soul of this insan out of his body, then the death of this human being occurs. And because the ruh is asal, and the ruh is no longer there, even the animals and the insects and the worms realize that this body has no more value, and it is eaten up in the grave. What this maut is, and what this death is, one person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man akyasun nas, O Nabi of Allah, in humanity, who is the most intelligent person? Normally, in contemporary terms, if that question had to be put to us, depending on the conviction in the heart of an individual, the reply will vary. Some people regard rulers to be intelligent. Some people regard a good businessman to be an intelligent person. Some people regard scientists to be intelligent. That individual and personality who was the fountainhead of intelligence, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Wahab bin Munabba rahimahullah used to say, Inna Allah ta'ala lam yu'ti jami'a an-nas min badi dunya ila inqidaiha min al-aqli fi jambi aqlihi illa kahabbati ramlin bayna rimali dunya. He said, if the combined intelligence of every human being from Adam alayhi salam to the last person to come before Qiyamah had to be put together and equated with one grain of sand, then the aqal and the intelligence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be all the sand of the entire earth. So when he was asked who is the most intelligent person, what was the response and reply? He said, Aktharuhum dhikran lil maut. The one who remembers maut and death the most, he is the most intelligent person amongst you. He said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّزَّاتِ. He said, excessively remember the crusher of every pleasure, that is death. It is mentioned about Sufyan Sauri, rahmatullah alayhi, that when muzakara of maut and death would take place, for several hours thereafter, he would lose his perception of his surrounding. He wouldn't know where he was also. Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that hadithna anil maut, that O Ka'ab, tell me about maut, about death. He said, inna al maut ka shajarati shawkin udkhilat fi jawfi ibn Adam fa akhadat kullu shawkatin bi'irqin minhu thumma jazabaha rajulun shadidul quwa fa qata'a minha ma qata wa abqa ma abqa. He said, maut is like a thorny branch that has been placed in the center of this human being. Each of the thorns has caught hold of one vein of the body of this person. And thereafter, a strong person pulls this branch, each thorn renting the veins of this human being, cutting off what cuts off, remaining what remains. He said, this is maut. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi in the Munsar riwayat, he says that on a mu'min, the pangs of maut and death are equivalent to being struck with a sword 300 times. On one occasion, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was narrating to Sahaba and he encouraged them to relate the incidents of Bani Israel. Because he said amongst it are ajaib, strange lessons which can be learnt. And then Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself explained one incident. He said once a group of the Bani Israel went to a graveyard. And they made two rakat salah and then they made dua that Ya Allah show us maut or the effects of death. All of a sudden one person rose up from the grave. His face had become blackened. They asked him, tell us about maut. He said, I passed away 90 years ago. I passed away 90 years ago and till now I can still feel the pangs of death. Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, these people of Bani Israel saw the sign of sajda on the forehead of this person. Once Isa bin Maryam alayhi salam, he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala at the grave of Sam bin Nuh. Nuh alayhi salam had four sons. One was destroyed in the flood. He passed away in kufr. The other three were Sam, Ham and Yafith. Nuh alayhi salam is known as Adam Ethani, the second Adam. Because in the deluge and flood which took place, besides that 80 or 83 people that were saved, in the ship of Nuh alayhi salam, the rest of humanity was destroyed. And there onwards, the progeny of humanity came only from the sons of Nuh alayhi salam. So those three sons became the second point from which humanity procreated and continued. That is why he is known as Adam Esani. His three sons' name was Sam, Ham and Yafith. It is said the Europeans came from Yafith. The dark-skinned people came from Ham. And the Indians or Coloureds came from Sam. So this was the grave of Sam bin Nuh. On the dua of Isa alayhi salam, he stood up. And then a conversation took place with this Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And then as he was about to make dua to return him back to his grave, he asked him that how long is it since you passed away? He said, I passed away 4,000 years ago. O Nabi of Allah, I have one request. What request do you have? He says, when you return me back to the grave, make dua to Allah Ta'ala that I do not once again experience the pangs of death. Because from that time, I have not forgotten the pangs of death. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, at the time when he was passing away from this world, he was perspiring. And he was saying, إِنَّ لِهَذِهِ الْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتِ That this death has great pain attached to it. The sakarat of maut is very painful. So they asked him, O Nabi of Allah, are you also experiencing discomfort? He said, yes. And then he said, it is my wish and desire that the pain of death which my ummah will experience right up till Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala has to place all that entire pain and torment on me and save my ummah from that difficulty. Constantly he would make dua, Allahumma inni ala sakaratil maut wa ghamaratil maut. O Allah, help me and assist me over the sakarat and the ghamarat of maut. This was to give ta'aleem and to teach the ummah about this reality. Every soul will experience death. There will be two types of maut and experience. There will be two types of maut which human beings will experience. One is that type, Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ If only you could see those who had rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of death, the ruh will not want to come out of the body. Once a person passed by the itar shop of Fariduddin Attar, and he was staring at that shop. So Fariduddin Attar got upset. What are you staring at? What's wrong with you? He carried on staring. He asked him, what is the matter with you? What are you staring at? He says, I am thinking about your maut. He got even more upset. What about my maut are you thinking about? He says, I am trying to work out how Malakul Maut is going to pull your ruh out of each of these bottles of ether. So in his anger he said to that person, how will the angel of death take your ruh out? This was a pious man. So what he did is he lay down on the ground and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and he passed away. The more attachment with this dunya, the more difficult it is going to be for the ruh of this insan to come out of his body. And those who had rejected Allah Ta'ala says, if you could see how the angels will be beating him, striking him on his mouth and striking him on his back to take the ruh out of his body. In the riwayat of Ibn Majah, rahimahullah, it comes, يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَلَائِكَ سُودُ الْوُجُوهِ فِي أَيْدِيهِمُ الْمَسُوحِ. The angels, black faces. Once Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, show me the form in which the angel of death will come to a disbeliever or to one who has been disobedient to you. Allah Ta'ala told him, turn around and look. When he looked, فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ أَسْوَدٌ, he saw a huge form, black, feet on the earth, head in the sky. كَأَقْبَحِ سُورَةٍ مَا أَنْتَرَاهُ, the most ugly, fearsome and frightening sight that he had ever seen. This creature had long black hair, and at the root of every hair was a flame of fire, eyes bloodshot. When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw this, he fell down unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he said, Allah's qasam, if there was no other azab, if there was no other azab for a disbeliever besides this sight of Malakul Maut at the time of his death, it would have been sufficient for him. In the riwayat of Ibn Majah, Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Malakul Maut will sit at the head of this person, of this disobedient person, and address his ruh, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَةَ كَانَتْ فِي الْجَسَدِ الْخَبِيثِ, that, O khabith nafs, you are in a khabith body, ukhruji, come out now. وَأَبْشِرِي بِحَمِيمٍ وَغَسَّاقٍ وَآخَرَ مِنْ شَكْلِهِ أَزْوَاجٍ, come out now and prepare yourself for the boiling water of Jahannam. Prepare yourself for the thorny food of Jahannam. And prepare yourself for various different types of azab. This ruh will be carried upwards. When he reaches the heavens, the malaika will ask, who is it? The angel of death will reply, Fula ibn Fulan, so and so, the son of so and so. The angels immediately will respond, Nafsun khabitha, kanat fil jasadil khabith. He was a khabith soul in a khabith body. No entry will be given to him. La tufattahu lahum abwabu samaa, wala yadkhuluna al-jannata hatta yalija al-jamal fi sammi al-khiyat. Quran says that the doors of heaven will not open for the soul. He will be flung into Sijjin. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا Sijjin. Sijjin is the prison of Allah Ta'ala, wherein the souls, or the disobedient souls, or the disbelieving souls, will suffer various types of azab right up till Qiyamah. On the other hand, those who are obedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, ينزل عليهم ملائكة بيض الوجوه كأن وجوههم الشمس. Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, angels will descend with shining faces, faces shining like the sun. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور الرحيم. Verily those who said our Rabb is Allah and then remained firm upon this. Quran says at the time of their death angels will descend. Shining faces. They will say to them, do not fear what lies ahead. Do not grieve over what you have left behind. And become happy of a Jannat and a paradise which you were promised. We were your friends in this world, and we will be your friends in the Akhirat. And for you in Jannat is whatever you desire, ask for it and Allah will give it to you. One riwayat it comes, that in Jannat, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةَ يَأْتِي الْمَلَكُ الْكَرِيمُ. In Jannat, an honored angel will come to the Jannati with a scroll. On it will be written, مِنَ الْحَيِّ الْكَرِيمُ. مِنَ الْحَيِّ الْعَظِيمُ إِلَى الْحَيِّ الْكَرِيمُ. This is a message from that Allah who is eternal to His Jannati now, who has also become eternal, who will never experience death. This is a message from that Allah whose affair is such that whenever He desires something, all He says it be and it becomes. To a Jannati now who Allah has made such that whatever you desire will be granted to you. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. This is mehmani from an Allah who is most forgiving and most merciful. The angel of death will sit at the head of this mu'min and will say, Ayyatuhan nafsul hamida. Kanat fil jasadil hamid. O praiseworthy nafs, you are in a praiseworthy body. Ukhruji, come out now. Wa abshiri bi rawhin wa rayhan wa rabbin radin anki ghayri ghadban. And become happy, for in front of you lies the gardens of Jannat. Lies the sweet fragrances of Jannat. And a Rabb, and an Allah who is waiting for you, who is happy with you and will never be angry with you. On one occasion, Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن أبغض لقاء الله أبغض الله لقاءه. That person who loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him also. And that person who dislikes meeting Allah, Allah dislikes meeting him also. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, أليس كلنا يكره الموت. O Nabi of Allah, all of us naturally have an aversion to death. Naturally we have an aversion to death. Does this mean that Allah dislikes meeting us? Nabi of Allah said, no. But when a mu'min who has pleased Allah is passing away, the angels of Allah come down and give him basharat, glad tidings, and show him the Jannat that lies in front of him. Seeing this, he becomes happy and he desires going ahead. So Allah loves to meet him also. And one who is disobedient is shown the azab of Allah. So he hates going ahead and Allah dislikes meeting him also. The soul of this pious person is carried to the heavens. The angels ask, who is it? The response is given, Fula ibn Fula, so and so, the son of so and so. When they hear his name, they say, Marhaban bihi, marhaban bihi. Nafsun hamida. Kanat fil jasad al hamid. Mubarak, glad tidings, welcome, welcome. Pure nafs, pure soul, who was in a pure body. The angels make istiqbal, and he is carried from heaven till heaven, till he is brought right up to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter he makes sajda in front of the arsh of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says to the soul, you have pleased me, now I will please you. And he is sent to his abode in Illiyin. Illiyin is the mehman khana of Allah Ta'ala. Situated from the first heaven upwards, according to the different darajat and ranks, where they will have to make intizar and wait for qiyamat. Normally intizar, waiting is a form of azab. But in alam-e-barzakh, for them, time will be finished. Because time is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. Ashab-e-Kahf, those youngsters that went into the cave, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِيَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. They stayed in the cave for 309 years. They were not dead, they were alive. 309 years, but time stopped inside the cave and time carried on outside the cave. Because time is the creation of Allah. So that the youngster that went to sleep at the age of 20 did not wake up 309 years later at the age of 329. His nails did not get long. His hair did not grow. Time stopped inside the cave. So that when he woke up, he was still 20. So in the same way, these souls in Illiyin, the intizar and the waiting of Qiyamah will not affect them. Because time also would have come to an end. These are two types of mort, two types of death, which every soul and every human being will experience, depending on the effort that was made in this dunya. Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, when the time came for her to leave this world, it was night time. She called her servant and she said, I'm going to pass away tonight. Do not let the people come to know. Just gather a few people and bury me. Bury me in the same cloth which I used to make my tahajjud salah in. The next day the news spread like wildfire. Rabia has passed away. She was very pious and very famous. That night, the maidservant who she had instructed about her burial sees her in a dream. Rabia Basriya says to this maidservant, may Allah reward you, you carried out my instructions. So this maidservant says to her, she was waiting beautiful green robes of Jannat. She says to her, where is that cloth which we buried you in? She says, it was taken off me and I was given these clothes of Jannat. And the angels told me, that cloth has been kept with my good deeds, which will weigh down the scale of my good deeds on the day of judgment. Then this maidservant asked her, how did the angels deal with you in the grave? She said, Munkar and Nakir came, and they asked me that, Rabia, mar Rabbuki, who is your Rabb? So I said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. 40 years, she was 42 when she passed away. 40 years on the surface of this earth, I never forgot my Allah. Now that I have gone 4 feet beneath the ground, how can I forget my Allah? On one occasion, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says to him, Kayfa anta ya Umar, idha kunta fi arba'ati dhira'in, fil ardi fi dhira'in, idh ataka fattan al qabr, malakan, أسودان أزرقان ينبتان الأرض بأنيابهما أصواتهما كالرعد القاصف وأبصارهما كالبرق الخاشف. Oh Umar, what is going to happen to you? What is your halat and condition going to be? When you go into a hole in the ground, which is 2 feet wide and 4 feet in depth. And then the test of the qabr comes to you. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi described Munkar and Nakir. He said there will be black, piercing blue eyes. Their voices will be like thunder. Bolts of lightning will be coming out of their eyes. They will make their way to you by digging the earth with their fingernails. In their hand will be a hammer, the weight of which is such that if the whole of humanity had to get together to lift that hammer, they will not be able to lift it. But for them it will be so easy to lift. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picks up his asa and his stick. He says, as easy as it is for me to hold the stick. One is that type of death, and the other is that death, Allah protect us, Abdul Hamid bin Mahmud narrates, that once we were sitting with Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, a group of people came, they were on the journey of Hajj, they had a problem. What was their problem? They said, one of our companions who was with us, proceeding for Hajj, His mort occurred. They said when we dug the grave, a hole in the ground, we found it full of black snakes. So we closed it up again and we dug the next one. And again, that one also was full of black snakes. So we dug a third hole and we found it full of black snakes. We have come to you now, what must we do? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala numa said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ حَفَرْتُمُ الْأَرْضَ جَمِيعًا لَوَجَدْتُمُوهُ. He said, Allah's qasam, if you dig up the whole earth for a grave for this person, you will find it just the same. You will have to bury him in such a pit. When they made some inquiries about this person, they found that he was a dindar person, but he had one weakness. He would sell wheat. But what he would do is he would take the wet inferior wheat and mix it up with the superior one and present it as superior quality. Janab Rasulullah said, Man ghashana falaysa minna. He who will deceive us in business, he is not of us. Ahmad bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, narrates, he was a resident of Medina Munawwara. He says, my sister passed away. Whilst burying her, inadvertently my wallet fell down. When I got back home, I realized what had happened, so I went back to retrieve my wallet. He says, I dug up her grave to take out my wallet, and when I looked into the grave, I saw huge flames of fire. So I closed up the grave, and worriedly, I rushed to my mother, and I asked her, what was the conduct of my sister? She said, كَانَتْ أُخْتُكَ تُؤَخِّرُ الصَّلَاةِ وَلَا تُصَلِّي بِطَهَارَةٍ تَامَّةٍ She said, your sister would always delay her salah. She would not perform her salah on time. In one riwayat it comes that at the time of salah, Malakul Maut descends on this earth and goes throughout the surface of the earth looking for all those people who are performing salah, recognizing them, because it is Allah's decision that those who will be regular in their salah will be saved from a difficult maut and death. So she said, your sister would delay her salah and she would not make wudu properly. And she had this habit of overhearing the conversation of the neighbors and carrying tales. In one riwayat it comes that a very conducive guna which will lead to azab in qabr is that of carrying tales, what we call chugal khori. And just to digress, Janab Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Dawood Sharif riwayat, he said, اِسْتَنْزَهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ فَإِنَّ عَامَّةَ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ مِنْ He said, beware of urine droplets. Beware of urine droplets. This in itself is a lengthy topic. It's not the occasion to go into details. Just suffice to say this much. One of our asatiza, may Allah have mercy upon him, used to say, that nowadays our istinja is such, the way we relieve ourselves is such, that most of us, the toilets in our homes are such, that if in this day and age, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to come back to the earth, and he had to become a guest in our home, he would not be able to utilize the toilet in our home. Because we have used that system which is khilaf of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Leave the harm we are causing ourselves. But by adopting the system of high-pan toilet, different thing if we have a uzr, or some excuse, but we can't bend down, or we have an illness. But by using that high-pan toilet, Allah has kept such beauty in every tariqah, in every action of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That even in the mundane activities of life, if we will adopt sunnah, then we will get reward to the extent that even sharing the bed with one's wife in a sunnat way, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, will get you reward. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, a man gets enjoyment. How is he getting reward? Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if he goes to haram, Allah will punish him. He has gone towards halal, Allah will reward him. So by adopting sunnah, even relieving ourselves in the toilet becomes a zariya of sawab. But because we are that blind jamaat that is making wala dhalin ameen behind the people of batil and the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, who have gradually in every aspect of our lives, endeavored to take us away from sunnah. Look around us, even the dindar tabqa. Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say that the sleeve of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila rusghain would be right up to his wrist. Now and then to show ibahat, to show permissibility, at times his sleeves were shorter. But that is just to show permissibility, what was actual sunnah. Sahaba say, rarely did we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bareheaded in public. Yet today, as an act of defiance, generally amongst the youth, they will walk bareheaded, even in salah bareheaded. And when it is said, why, what are you doing? They say it is only sunnah. Or bring the proof. Or is it sahih hadith? Is it Bukhari or Muslim? Or which kitab it comes? Why don't you ask the doctor, in which kitab did he read the prescription which he is giving you? Is it not sufficient for you that the pious elders of Islam and the fuqaha of Islam are showing you that salah which you will make with your head covered and that salah which you will make with amama is 70 times more superior? Is that not sufficient proof for you? This is a gradual effort to take us away from sunnah, because once we move away from sunnah, the opposite of sunnah is zulmat and darkness, and it is that zulmat and darkness that is taking away the nur of iman from us. By adopting that high pan toilet, if a person lives for 40 years, then he has deprived himself once, twice or three times every day of the reward of sunnat istinja. And what is more sad is the fact those masoom children of ours whom we hand this legacy over to. That is why nowadays even in the madrasas, even in the dini idaras, high pan toilets have to be put. Because already that sunnah of istinja was destroyed in the home of that child, so he is unable to squat and relieve himself as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself. And a greater source of harm is the fact that with that system of batil, it is very, very difficult to protect oneself from urine droplets. And Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the greatest sources of azab in the qabr will be droplets of urine. A person not adopting caution in relieving himself. Nevertheless, coming back to what we were discussing, it was on the 15th night of Shaban, someone asked Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi, that how is it that you made tawbah? What was the means of you making tawbah? He was far away from deen. He says it was the 15th night of Shaban. I was a policeman who had very bad habits. I would drink. And I would engage in all sorts of haram. I had one beautiful slave girl whom I loved. She gave birth to a lovely daughter. From the time the child was born, I had excessive love for her. It was almost as if she possessed my heart. He says this little baby had one strange habit, that every time I would hold the glass of sharab in my hand, she would hit my hand and cause the tumbler to spill its contents onto my clothes. I would not scold her because I loved her too much. He says when she was 2 years of age, she passed away. And this was a source of great grief to me. And then he says, it was the 15th night of Shaban, Laylatul Bara'a. It was also a Thursday night, the night preceding Jumu'ah. I had not made Isha Salah because I was too drunk. And in this drunken stupor, I fell asleep. And then I saw a dream that it was the day of judgment. And people were going towards the Maidan and Mahshar. I heard a sound behind me and I turned around and I saw this huge black python with his mouth open chasing me. Fearing for my life, I started running. I came across One very handsome old man dressed in white robes with a beautiful fragrance emanating from him. I said to him, "Oh, old man, help me, save me from the snake." This old man, seeing my pitiable condition, wept. And he said, "I am too weak to help you." He says, "I carried on running. I saw a cliff. I ran up the cliff. The snake was hot on my heels. When I got to the top, I realized that over this cliff was the fire of Jahannam. When I saw the blazing fire of Jahannam with its various types of azab, I looked behind me and I saw the snake coming. I carried on running, even if it meant throwing myself into Jahannam to save myself from the snake. Then I heard the angel shouting that, 'Turn around and go away, you are not of them, you are not of them.' That is, you are not of the Jahannamis." So he says, "I ran in another direction. And again I came across that old man. I said to him, 'The first time I asked you, you didn't help me. Please help me.' He wept bitterly and he said, 'I am unable to help you, I am too weak. But go towards that hill. In that hill is kept some of the amanats and the trust of the Muslims. Maybe you will find something to help you there.'" So Malik bin Dinar says that I ran in that direction. When I came across that hill, I found that it was made out of silver. And there were little rooms which had shutters of ruby and a very fine silk curtain in front of it. As I came closer, the angels announced, "There is a person in a problem. Is there anyone amongst you that can help him lift up your curtains?" He says, "The curtains were lifted and I saw little children coming out. They had shining faces like the sun." He says that the snake came even closer. Now I had given up hope. I was desolate. I realized now I'm going to be eaten up. Those little children, seeing my plight, they started shouting, "More of you all come out, more of you all come out. Is there anyone amongst you that has an amanat for this person?" He says, "More curtains were lifted. And then I saw my beautiful daughter who had passed away when she was 2 years of age. When she saw me, she burst into tears and she said, 'By Allah, it is my father.'" And he says that like a bolt of lightning on a cradle, she shot across towards me with the speed of an arrow. With her left hand, she embraced me, and with her right hand, she indicated towards the snake, and the snake went away. Then he says, she took her right hand and she started rubbing it on my cheek. And she said, "Alam ya'ni lil-ladina amanu an takhsha' qulubuhum lidhikrillahi wa ma nazala min al-haqq." Has not the time come, Allah says, has not the time come for the believers who are engaging in guna and in wrongdoing and in the disobedience of Allah, that they humble their souls in humility before the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and that which was revealed of the truth from Allah? He says, when my daughter recited this verse of the Quran, in surprise I said to her, that, "Do you know the Quran?" She said, "All of us know the Quran more than the people of the earth know the Quran." He says, I asked her, "What was that black snake, that python?" She said that that python was your evil deeds, your gunas, which because you had made so much of guna, you had strengthened it like that it almost chased you into Jahannam. Then I asked her that elderly man, "Who was that?" She said, "That was your good deeds, that you had weakened to such an extent that it was unable to help you, but at least it pointed you in my direction." And then she said that all these rooms contain the innocent, masoom children of the Muslims that passed away in infancy. She says, "We are waiting here for our parents right up till Qiyamah, and on the day of Qiyamah, we will intercede on their behalf before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the young child of my ummati passes away, Then Allah Ta'ala addresses his angels and says to them, that have you taken the soul of the child of my banda? The angels say yes. Then Allah Ta'ala says to them, قَبَدْتُمْ سَمَرَةَ فُعَادِهِ. Have you taken away a piece of his liver and his heart, his beloved from him? The angels say yes. Then Allah says, what was his reaction? The angels reply, حَمِدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ. O Allah, he praised you. And he read, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily to Allah we belong and unto him we have to return. So Allah Ta'ala says, ابنوا له بيتا في الجنة وسموه بيت الحمد. Build for him a home in Jannat and name it the home of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these little children will make sifarish for their parents on the day of judgment. So one is the body and the other is the ruh and the soul. The body will perish. The soul will remain right up till Qiyamah. And then on the day of judgment, this person will be given a new body. And will have to face hisab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the body and the soul require nourishment. And if they do not receive their nourishment, they become pareshan and restless. Because the body is from the earth, the nourishment of the body is also from the earth. And because the soul is from the heavens, the nourishment of the soul is from the heavens. Both Allah has made it such that require nourishment. And this desire and talab for nourishment is an automatic response. I am speaking to you. While speaking, I am drinking water. Automatically from inside my body is getting thirsty and asking for water. This is such a system which you cannot switch off. It's an inherent requisite and nature of the human body. That it becomes hungry and it desires food. It becomes thirsty, it desires water. In exactly the same way, my respected brothers, the ruh and the soul of this insan calls out and cries out for ta'alluq with Allah and ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as the body, when it does not receive nourishment, it becomes restless. Allah's qasam, far greater than the restlessness of the body, is the restlessness of this ruh and of the soul of insan. When he does not receive the nourishment of the ta'alluq of Allah and ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dr. Akhtar Saab, one Zimmedar brother from Pakistan, he narrates, he says, our Jamaat was working in America. A group of American youngsters came to accept Islam. And one of those youngsters, the moment I made him recite the Shahadat, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said the moment he said it, he clutched his chest and he breathed heavily. So I asked him, what happened to you? He said, from the time I gained consciousness, I became conscious, from that time I felt a blackness and an emptiness in the spot. Today when I read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, I felt as if my entire chest was filling up. This soul, Allah has placed a lock over it. No music of this world, and no revelry of this world, and no enjoyment of this world, and no attraction of this world can ever penetrate this lock. This inner restlessness and cry every human being experiences. They are looking to address this parashani. In the women of this world, in the zina of this world, in the sharab of this world, in the music of this world, what they say, music is food for the souls. Bewakuf, how can it be food for the soul? When Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that like how water causes crops to grow in the same way music causes nifaq and hypocrisy to grow in your heart. And it is the reason why many people at the time of maut will not be able to recite kalima. This fire that is raging inside every human being, he is trying to quench it in music, in zina, in sharab, in the worldly attraction and embellishments, in the tireless chase behind this dunya, fast cars, 5-star hotels, traveling, scenery, in going towards masiyat and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Traverse the surface of this earth and open up the annals of history and try and find one person who disobeyed Allah and went towards masiyat and revelry and ever found chain and suk, ever found peace and contentment in this world. Allah's qasam, 1,000 times Allah's qasam, in the annals of history you will not find one person, not one person that went towards masiyat and guna and the disobedience of my Allah and found peace and contentment in that. Because if you were to find such a person, then the kitab of my Allah will be incorrect, and wallah, my Allah's kitab is haq. Quran shouts out, Quran calls out, Allah, Allah, listen, hearken, put up your ears, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Only in the zikr of my Allah, only in the obedience of my Allah, only in ta'alluq with Allah, only in this soul getting the nourishment of tilawat of Quran, of salah, of da'wat ilallah, of getting up in the dead of night and shedding those hot tears before Allah. That is the nourishment of this soul and this ruh. And intrinsically Allah has placed this taqaza in every human being that this heart is crying out for this. This heart is crying out for the recognition of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are trying to appease that inner fire in masiyat. All we are doing is putting petrol over that fire, and it is raging more and more within us. Quran declares, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. He who will turn away from my remembrance, Allah says we will give him a tight life in this world. Tight life does not mean poverty. Tight life does not mean poverty. Restricted existence does not mean poverty. What it means is there will be no chain, no peace. Like a person who takes an imitation rose and he breathes in deeply trying to get a fragrance, till Qiyamah he will breathe in, he will never get a fragrance. Like taking an imitation fruit and trying to taste the sweetness of fruit, his entire existence will be a lie. Wealth, worldly pomp and so-called success of this world is not a sign of success. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تغبطن فاجر. لا تغبطن فاجر. If you see a person in masiyat, in the disobedience of Allah, and his wealth is increasing, never envy such a person. فَإِنَّ وَرَاءَهُ قَاتِلْ يَعْنِي النَّارِ. Because know and understand, it is only rope which Allah is giving him. It is rope which Allah is giving him. Behind him there is a crusher, and that is the fire of Jahannam. We have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These nights and these occasions, and that Mubarak month which is coming 2 months in advance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua, Allahumma barik lana fi rajab wa sha'ban, wa balighna ramadan, wa Allah bless us, give us barakat in rajab and sha'ban, and cause us to remain alive to experience ramadan. 2 months in advance, his heart would aspire for ramadan. What is ramadan for? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you purify your soul. So that you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knock the door of tawbah. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala narrates, that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, we have never seen you fasting like how we see you fasting in Shaban. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two reasons for this, why he exerted himself in fasting in Shaban. What will you do, O Umar? Janab Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, O Nabi of Allah, on that day or at that juncture, will I be in possession of my senses? Will I be as alert as I am today? Will my iman be of the same level as it is today? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes. Then Umar says, if that is the case, O Nabi of Allah, then I have no worry. I will deal with them. This was when effort of iman had taken place. This was the barakat of the company of Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that as Umar walked away, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him back. And he said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا إِنَّ جِبْرِيلْ قَدْ أَتَانِي. O Umar, Jibreel has come to me now. And he has informed me, إِنَّهُمَا يَأْتِيَانِكْ فَيَسْأَلَانِكْ فَتَقُولْ أَنْتَ اللَّهُ رَبِّي فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا ومحمد النبي فمن نبيكما والإسلام ديني فما دينكما فيقولان وعجبا لا ندري نحن أرسلنا إليك أم أنت أرسلت إلينا. He says, O Umar, Jibreel has informed me by the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who has sent me with the truth, that when Munkar and Nakir come to you in the grave and they put the questions of the grave to you, you will respond and say that Allah is my Rabb, who is your Rabb? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Nabi, who is your Nabi? Islam is my deen, what is your deen? They will in surprise say, we don't know whether we were sent to question you or you were sent to question us. This was the level of the iman of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Traverse the surface of this earth and open up the annals of history and try and find one person who disobeyed Allah and went towards masiyat and revelry and ever found chain and suk, ever found peace and contentment in this world. Allah's qasam, 1,000 times Allah's qasam, in the annals of history you will not find one person, not one person that went towards masiyat and guna and the disobedience of my Allah and found peace and contentment in that. Because if you were to find such a person, then the kitab of my Allah will be incorrect, and wallah, my Allah's kitab is haqq. Quran shouts out, Quran calls out, Allah, Allah, listen, hearken, put up your ears, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Only in the zikr of my Allah, only in the obedience of my Allah, only in ta'alluq with Allah, only in this soul getting the nourishment of tilawat of Quran, of salah, of da'wat ilallah, of getting up in the dead of night and shedding those hot tears before Allah. That is the nourishment of this soul and this ruh. And intrinsically Allah has placed this taqaza in every human being, that this heart is crying out for this. This heart is crying out for the recognition of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are trying to appease that inner fire in masiyat. All we are doing is putting petrol over that fire, and it is raging more and more within us. Quran declares, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. He who will turn away from my remembrance, Allah says we will give him a tight life in this world. Tight life does not mean poverty. Tight life does not mean poverty. Restricted existence does not mean poverty. What it means is there will be no chain, no peace. Like a person who takes An imitation rose, and he breathes in deeply trying to get a fragrance. Till Qiyamah he will breathe in, he will never get a fragrance. Like taking an imitation fruit and trying to taste the sweetness of fruit. His entire existence will be a lie. Wealth, worldly pomp, and so-called success of this world is not a sign of success. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا تَغْبِطَنَّ فَاجِرْ لَا تَغْبِطَنَّ فَاجِرْ If you see a person in ma'asiyat, in the disobedience of Allah and his wealth is increasing, never envy such a person. فَإِنَّ وَرَاءَهُ قَاتِلْ يَعْنِي النَّارِ Because know and understand, it is only rope which Allah is giving him. It is rope which Allah is giving him. Behind him there is a crusher, and that is the fire of Jahannam. We have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These nights and these occasions and that Mubarak month which is coming 2 months in advance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua. Allahumma barik lana fi rajab wa sha'ban. Wa balighna ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us. Give us barakat in rajab and sha'ban and cause us to remain alive to experience ramadan. 2 months in advance. His heart would aspire for Ramadan. What is Ramadan for? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you purify your soul. So that you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knock the door of Tawbah.